This has been a great week in our work here, particularly with our Vacation Bible School and other activities in which our young folks have been engaged. So many have done so many things to contribute to the success that we have seen, and we want to say thanks to all of you who have been involved. We're grateful that we can be together this morning to worship God, and we're grateful that you are here. If it is at all possible, I would encourage you to be here for the evening service tonight, because the lesson this evening is a continuation, really, of the thoughts of this morning. And I would that you had an opportunity to hear both lessons if possible. We're dealing with some things today that we believe are very important. I ask you to think very seriously about them. There are three or four areas that I want to touch on this morning and then talk a bit about tonight in a little deeper way that are some areas of concern. I have discussed these points with our elders. I have received their guidance and their thoughts along these lines, and want to share with you some concerns this morning and ask you to think about these. It is not my desire to be offensive to anyone in any way. In fact, it is not my desire to be thinking about any particular person as we talk about these, but to think about all of us. I believe there are some ways that we can improve in our work for the Lord. All of us can do that regularly. And from time to time, we'll be making suggestions to you and pointing out some things relative to the Scriptures that can help us along that line. I've announced the lesson this morning as when that which is good can become bad. I believe that this is true in every phase of life. For example, eating is good, but overeating is bad. Sleeping is good, but if a person sleeps late and misses his work, or sleeps late and is not present to worship God on the Lord's Day, then that sleep can become bad if it is not used in the right way. I want to discuss three or four areas this morning and apply this principle and ask us to think about it very seriously. The first has to do with the training of our children. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Ephesians 6:4 says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." You'll notice in both of those passages that there is a little word, a little two-letter word, up. This may be one of the key words in both of the passages. God has instructed the parents and given parents the responsibility to train up or to bring up their children. This is certainly not only a responsibility, but it is a great opportunity that we as parents have. I appreciate so much what is done, particularly by our mothers, in training the children relative to behavior in worship. And I want to suggest to you in the outset of the discussion of this point that we appreciate so much the mothers that put forth the effort to see that their children are here. And as a mother, you should never feel guilty nor ashamed. You have a baby that cries and has to be attended to. Although sometimes we have seen instances where worship services have been disturbed by those who did not use discretion, we are so thankful to have the babies in our services. I listen sometimes to sermons that were recorded over a period of years in the work where I previously worked at Tullahoma. And I don't know that I've ever listened to a sermon, but that somewhere in that sermon there was a baby crying. And I hope that we never get to the point that that is not the case, in the sense that babies are in our midst. I encourage mothers to bring their babies to church as soon as they possibly can. As soon as the mother is able to be here and the baby is able to be here, we encourage you to bring them. We encourage you to bring them, and as soon as possible to begin to train them in the right way. And generally speaking, I think our mothers can be complimented for the work that they are doing along that line. There are two rooms that we have at the building that are designated to assist in this, and these can be used in a wonderful way, but sometimes they are abused and cause concern. One is the nursery, which is downstairs, And the other is the training room, which is at the back of our auditorium and upstairs. These have been planned over a period of years for a specific purpose. And I'm thankful that we have both of them. We have the nursery downstairs so that mothers will have a place to go if the need arises, if they need to take a small baby from the audience, from the auditorium, or whatever the need might be to assist that baby. And we must face reality. There are going to be times that needs must be met. We also have the nursery available, and we have it staffed with some of our people there every Sunday, so that particularly visitors who may especially need to be able to listen to the teaching of God's Word and be able to come into the auditorium and worship in that sense may be able to leave their babies there and they're cared for. This is a wonderful work. We commend the ladies that help in that, in helping to carry this out. Sometimes, as children get a bit older, when they should be old enough to begin to learn how to behave and how to sit with their parents in the audience, are taken to the nursery and left, just in a sense it seems to be able to more or less get rid of them or to not deal with the responsibility that God has given us. We encourage you never to use the nursery in that sense. And as your children begin to get a bit older, to where they can begin to understand and can begin to know what is involved in sitting still, at least as still as a small child can, and maybe sometimes we expect too much of that, but as they begin to get to that age, we encourage you as parents to begin to train them and to use your responsibility and your opportunity as a father and a mother to talk to them and to teach them and to help them understand how important it is to be able to worship God. Again, one of the things that's been made available to assist in this is our training room upstairs. That training room is as much a part of our worship as this auditorium is, separated by glass so that when there is a need, parents may be able to take their children there and use that section to train them, to help them to understand in a place where it may be just a bit easier than in sections of the auditorium, to help their children to be able to understand what it means to sit, what it means to bow their heads when we pray, what it means to sing as we are singing. And I've noticed as I sit on the stage many times that we have parents that use it in that very way. I'll glance up occasionally and see some of our younger children there holding a songbook in that training room and singing as we sing. Children sitting with their parents, with a father or a mother there, sitting on the seat and participating in worship there, or learning to participate. And this is great. I'm thankful that we have facilities like this and that we can use them in that way. But occasionally they are abused by older people who have no children, going to the training room and sitting there and taking up the space that is reserved for our parents. And again, they are abused a bit when parents take their children there to turn them loose and to fail to use that as an opportunity to train them and to teach them how to worship God. And when that happens, that which is good and that which can be used for good can become something that is bad. It is never right for anyone to willfully misbehave in our worship services. Now the younger children have to be taught. And we as adults need to realize that. We need to do everything that we can to help and to encourage our parents of younger children as they're in the process of teaching them. Teaching them to learn to sing, teaching them to learn to listen, teaching them to learn to sit as much as it's possible for a small child to do in a worship service of this nature. Let's use what we have in the right way and not abuse it. We encourage all of you as parents to bring your children to Bible study and worship. The boys and girls that I worry about the most are the ones that are left at home, the ones that never come, the ones that are not here. I had much rather have a baby in this audience crying than that baby at home silent. A crying baby doesn't bother me that much until it gets out of order. I was in a meeting back a few years ago, and the local preacher had a little boy that was about 2 years old. And you know, preacher's kids are notorious for their actions. I tell them they are that way because they have to associate with the deacon's kids. But anyway, preacher's kids are usually talked about. But this little boy was about 2 years old, and he didn't cry. He screamed. I don't think he knew how to cry. He just knew how to scream. One night I started preaching, and about 5 minutes into the sermon, that youngster started screaming. And he screamed, and I preached for 25 minutes.
The mother never did get up and take him out, never did deal with the situation. And I'm not for sure which one of the two of us was the louder. Now that is a problem, and that's where even a child in the audience becomes something that is a problem, in that it, no one there could hear anything that was being said. This just continued on and on. Again, let me emphasize, particularly to you mothers of smaller children, we appreciate so much the fact that they are here. We appreciate what you do, and again, I emphasize, don't ever be ashamed, don't ever apologize. If you have a baby that cries, deal with it, and as time goes by, teach that child how to behave. Each child will be different. It may take more time with some than it does with others. But don't ever apologize for having a baby here that may cry. That's going to happen. But let's use our facilities, and let's work together, and let's not abuse the facilities. Those of us who do not need to use them, let us not abuse them so that they may be used in the right way. I've seen many instances where parents have taken their children to something like our training room, and they will teach them to sit on a bench, they'll teach them how to behave, they'll teach them how to participate, and then just a short time later, they're right back in the audience, and everything just goes along well. We ought to be thankful that we're able to have opportunities like this, and thankful for each one of our young people. But be sure that we use our facilities in the right way and do not abuse them. I'm persuaded that the reason that we have such a fine group of young people like these sitting here on the front seat are because a lot of effort and prayer and work has gone on down through the years to help them to be here and to learn and to know what they know now. This sometimes is a process that takes many years. Let's be sure that we use and not abuse our facilities that are for that. In a second area, which is not necessarily related to this, I'm concerned about conversations that I hear sometimes relative to home devotions and camp devotions, which are good in and of themselves and may be good in many ways, but which may be abused when they become a substitute for something else. Occasionally I'll hear someone say, you know, I believe we can just stay at home tonight and have a devotion at home and it'll be worth just as much as our being at the service. Or conversations that I've heard, and I really don't know the specific ones that have mentioned these things, but conversations like this, we'll just go out to the camp tonight since it's in session, and we'll have a short devotion out there, and we won't have to go to the evening service. Folks, that concerns me, because I believe we are letting that which is good become bad in the sense that it takes the place of something which is better. I would strongly encourage us to have devotions in our homes. If I had the opportunity to go back and make some changes in rearing my children again, I would have more than we had. That's one of the areas that I feel like I did not do as much as I should have done as we were bringing our children up. And today, we need to encourage our younger parents to begin to have devotions in your home. Sit down and read with your children and study with them and let them see you pray, sing together. These are wonderful. And in some families, I know you have a devotion like this maybe every day. I am 100% behind our camp work. I've been involved in camp work. I've directed it. I've been involved in teaching in almost every aspect of cooking. I don't think you could mention many things, but that I've had an opportunity to be involved. And I believe that some of the greatest work that's done with our young people is done in our camp work. We here in Henderson are well blessed in that we have one of the best ones in our area. And that's known throughout Tennessee and throughout the general area, that we have one of the best ones that can be found anywhere. This is something that's good. It is a great work. But folks, if we let the devotions at the camp become a substitute for our regular worship to God, I believe there is a problem there that we need to stop and think about. Conversation or two has been mentioned in my presence where the person said, you know, I run out to camp and go to church and I don't have to get dressed. In fact, I've even heard a statement that just makes cold chills run up my spine. We'll go to dirty church tonight instead of going to the services at the Henderson Church or wherever it might be. If we really stop to think about what we're saying when we say that, I'm sure every devotion is important at camp, and those that our kids have out there, and we have opportunity to be out with them, these can be great. But when it becomes a substitute for our opportunity to be together in our worship to God, in our services here, then I suggest to you that I seriously believe that it is a problem. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We've used that verse, we've heard it quoted down through the years so many times, to encourage people to go to the services of the church. And we will take that verse and say, this verse encourages us to attend, and I believe it does. But folks, there's a deeper meaning in that passage. And it may very well be the primary meaning of that passage. I wonder if the verse there, or the series of verses, is not so much to encourage us to attend as it is to attend to encourage. That's really what the verse is saying. Come together so much the more that you may encourage one another as you see the day approaching. Evidently, there was a great day of persecution approaching these folks. And particularly when you tie verse 24 with it, it definitely says that. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. There is something about coming together in a service like this that you can't get anywhere else. There is something about being in every service of the church, in a local congregation of which one is a part, that is so important to the overall aspect of Christian living. Our service that we'll have here tonight at 6 o'clock is important. It's important to me, and it's important to you. It's not important just because it's set at 6 o'clock or just because there will be a certain number of people here. It's important because it's an opportunity to worship God and an opportunity to come together to encourage one another. Have you noticed that most of the time, 15, 20, 30 minutes before the services, several people are here talking with one another, encouraging one another? Sometimes 30 minutes after the service is over on Sunday night, and with other activities following, sometimes as much as an hour later, there's still people around this building talking with one another, encouraging one another. You can't find that anywhere else. Nothing else can substitute for that. And if we allow ourselves to use family devotions or camp devotions to substitute for our opportunities to be together, to encourage one another, and to worship God, I believe that we are using that which is otherwise good to become a substitute for something that is even better, and something that can be a drawback to us if we miss it. I just don't feel right if I miss any service of the church where there is a reasonable opportunity for me to be there. Now, there are times that we will have to miss. There are things beyond our control. I understand that. I've experienced that, as I'm sure each one of you has. There are things that just cannot be controlled. We believe God understands that when there are things beyond our control. But folks, we need to learn how important it is for us to come together and worship in the local congregation. That's where God placed his worship. That's where he wants it. And he wants us, each one of us, to be involved in that as much as it is possible for us to be. Talking about worship, let me throw out another idea for you to consider. Is it possible that we can place too much emphasis upon the observance of the Lord's Supper? Unless you think that question through, you might answer it, well, certainly not. Perhaps there is. Let me share with you some thoughts. Occasionally I hear a person say, you know, just as long as I get to the services in time to observe the Lord's Supper, that'll be all right. The rest of it doesn't really matter that much anyway. Is that true? I don't think so. Certainly emphasis is placed on the Lord's Supper. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper with the bread and the fruit of the vine, as recorded in the accounts of the gospel, and Paul referred to this in 1 Corinthians 11 and said you need to observe it. As often as you observe it, you do show the Lord's death till he comes again. Certainly when we come together on the Lord's Day, we come around the Lord's table. That's a very important part of our worship to God. But is it more important than all of the other aspects of our worship to God? Folks, when I read this book about what's involved in worship, I find it emphasizing singing just as much as it emphasizes the Lord's Supper. Now, there are some specific things said about either. The Lord's Supper is designated for the first day of the week where singing is not. But as far as it being a part of our worship and an avenue of our worship to God, singing is just as important as the Lord's Supper. Praying is certainly as important as any other part of our worship to God. The teaching of God's Word is important. Our laying by and store of our means, all of these are a part of our worship. Now, there may be times that there are things beyond our control. We may not be able able to be there right at the time and be involved in every part of the worship as we should. But unless it's something beyond our control, we need to be involved in every part of our worship to God. Occasionally a comment has been made in my presence relative to the Sunday evening observance of the Lord's Supper. A comment something to this effect. You know, we need to go see our family today. We'll have the Lord's Supper tonight at the 6 o'clock service at church, so we just won't go to church this morning. We'll go visit our family, and we'll get to take the Lord's Supper tonight. Is that placing too much emphasis on the Lord's Supper? At the expense of not understanding the totality of our worship to God? Perhaps it is. Do you think God's going to be pleased if we put other things ahead of Him? Why, certainly we need to visit with our families. Certainly we need to prepare meals for our families. We need the amount of sleep, rest, and relaxation. But when we put those things ahead of our worship to God, the entirety of our worship to God, I just don't believe that God is pleased. We worship Him out of that attitude. We ought to make our plans such that on Sunday morning we can be here for the entirety of the worship service. And although this is another subject that needs to be discussed in more detail at another time, I humbly suggest to you that all of us as Christians ought to make our plans to be here for the Bible study hour. I don't know what it is that's taking the time of so many that hinders you from being here at 9 o'clock to be in a class to study God's Word. If God understands and there is something that hinders you, then I must understand that. The main thing is for God to understand. But folks, something just doesn't add up. When we allow ourselves to become involved in the affairs of life, whatever it is, whether it's preparing a Sunday meal, or getting our rest, or going to see somebody, or doing other things, whatever it is, when we let those things take the place of our opportunity and responsibility to be together to study God's Word and to worship Him, something is not what it ought to be. If at all possible, make your plans to be here when that first song is sung in the assembly. Be here to sing. You see, if you're a Christian, you're to sing to God. Don't miss any of the prayers. There are times in some places where I have preached the gospel that there are people who miss the songs and the prayer and maybe even part of the message. They want to be there to be sure they take the Lord's Supper. Is it possible that we, without realizing it or allowing the Lord's Supper to become nothing more than a mass for us? The entirety of the worship is important. On the Lord's Day, at every opportunity that we possibly can. And this brings up another point that is along this line that we need to consider. It is important for us to belong to a local congregation and be involved in the work of a local congregation. Now, that doesn't mean that it'll be possible for us to be present at every service. I can't, and I know that you can't, both of you, through the year. There will be circumstances, in my case, such as gospel meetings, that will necessitate my being somewhere else. In your case, it may be something else. And certainly this is understandable. There are going to be times that we cannot be here in our local work. But the person who lets those times become such that he really doesn't have any ties to a local work is missing something. One person was heard to say, you know, I just enjoy visiting around, going here and there, and not being tied to any group. I go here one Sunday and there another Sunday. Well, there is some good in being able to worship with different people, but that misses God's plan. You see, God's plan is for there to be the local family, led by the local eldership, work done by the local membership, to where we are involved and we're tied to the work of this congregation. Even when I'm gone from you and I'm somewhere else preaching or away for some reason on a Sunday or a Wednesday night, there is a sense in which I feel that my spirit is here with you and my work is here because this is my local congregation. I believe that we all need to have an attitude like that, an attitude of being involved in a local work. I was talking just last week to one of our students at Fried Hardeman. This is a married student who's from the Cookeville area. And his circumstances have necessitated, because of a business, have necessitated during this past year that he is here about every other Sunday and he's there about every other Sunday. We were not discussing this subject at the time. This just sort of came up out of the blue. He said to me the other night, he said, you know, for the first time in my life, I just just don't really feel like I'm a part of anything. Because I'm here one Sunday and I'm there one Sunday, I can't get involved in anything at either place. And I told him, I said, I appreciate you making that statement. It fits into something that I want to present to the congregation in the next few days. And I think it does. I think it says something. That when we miss that being tied to, that feeling of a responsibility and an opportunity in a family, just like I'm tied to my local family, my personal family, I'm a part of this local work here. Though there are times that will necessitate our being away, in my case and in yours, and we need to understand that and realize that that's true. We still need to do everything that we can to put our effort and our first effort here and to really work as a part of this local congregation. You know, folks, the bottom line of what we're saying this morning is that you just can't improve on God's way. And I think we're talking about God's way. We've talked about parents rearing, bringing their children up in the right way to where they know how to behave in the worship services. And the statement was made, let me just share with you on a very positive note, the statement was made to me last week by my wife. We had the best behaved Vacation Bible School group that I've ever seen. The last 14 years I directed Vacation Bible School at Tullahoma. We've been involved in others. Judy said this week, as she looked at ours, and I agreed with her, this is the best behaved group that we've ever seen. I appreciate that. And that didn't come about by accident. It came about by realizing some of these very things that we're talking about this morning, of rearing our children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Making our services, Sunday morning, Bible study, worship, Sunday night, Wednesday night, important to us and our children. And not substituting something else for them, but putting them first. If it is reasonably possible for us to be there, being there. Being involved in the entirety of the worship. Not just observing the Lord's Supper, but as the early Christians were, being steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers and all of it. Making our services meaningful and making them important. And being involved in that local work with every joint supplying, Ephesians 6:14. Though we must, like in our own families, be gone and be separated from, we still have those ties that bind us in that love and in that work for the Lord. Brethren, I think this lesson today is important because we're talking about really some positive things where we can use what God has given us, use our tools and use our talents to His glory and always put Him first. If we do that, He'll be pleased with us. And I prayerfully ask you to take these things that we have talked about today and the attitude in which they're given, study them, think about them, share them with others. Let's mutually encourage one another to do the best job we can do in our worship to God and in our service to Him. If you're not a Christian this morning, we want to especially address you at this time and encourage you to think about being a New Testament Christian, worshiping God and serving Him. If you are a child of His and you haven't been faithful to Him, you've neglected your worship or you've neglected your involvement or in some way you've violated your Christian living in a way that needs to be publicly acknowledged, we encourage you to take care of that. There may be even those in the audience this morning who are not actively involved as a part of a local congregation. Let me say to you, we'd be glad to have you as a part of our work involved in it in the ways that we have discussed even this morning. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, please come as together we stand and sing. Some more convenient day.
love.